Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, good afternoon. I have some good news to start things off. First of all, the rant line, we got a bunch of really good calls, which we will do at, when are we going to do them today? I think at 5:40. And then great news number two is that Jolly Ned is not doing a press conference this afternoon, so I've actually got my show intact. Yay. And the third and best piece of news is that Tom Shattuck is here, a sometimes regular guest, an occasional guest, I guess that means. He's a editor, senior editor, very senior editor at the Lowell Sun newspaper, an old friend from Boston Radio. What's up, Thomas?
Well, there has not been a coup at my newspaper yet where staffers run the paper because I dared run an unpopular op-ed that wasn't progressive enough, thankfully.
Is that because you haven't run one of those bad op-eds, or they just let you off the hook?
No, we run them. We've just got a – there's a difference in our newspaper. It's an old-school model where the news is separated from the opinion, and reporters just do their jobs regardless of what the opinion side is opining on, which really should be anything and everything. But
so it sounds like you're alluding to events at the New York Times. Can you tell us what's happened there?
Right. Well, it's been crazy. In last week, the Times reached out to Tom Cotton, the Senator Tom Cotton, and they kind of worked together to come up with an op-ed in which Cotton suggested that the use of the federal troops to quell some of the destruction and in violent rioting is something that should be on the table, should be considered, because his feeling was is that communities most affected were these minority communities, and you might need these troops to be used. They've been used previously. The L.A. mayor asked for help during the L.A. riots, and sporadically in history they're used. So they work together, and they craft this op-ed. The Times, the Times edits it here and there. And then they published the op-ed online last Wednesday, and New York Times staffers went absolutely nuts on their Slack channel, which is like a texting thing that companies use to communicate with each
internally,
other.
Internally, right?
Exactly. They all there was a big clamoring, and they were condemning the idea that this would be allowed. And then Times staffers started to tweet out that their lives and the lives of minorities were now being put in danger because this was being published, and that this speech was essentially violence. And so the editor of the Times, the next morning, the editorial page editor was so jarred that he put out a statement himself explaining why they published the thing. And the publisher then tried to placate the staff by sending an email to all the staff. This is a Pinch Salzberger to all the staff saying, I understand you have concerns. Remember, we agree with you and we're progressive, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, we have to allow other opinions. This is kind of a forum on the editorial pages. And the staff would have none of it. And they went on a bigger campaign. They went on this digital strike or walkout or whatever. It's something that millennials do when they're upset. Digital walkout or something. And eventually, the woke America woke up and descended upon the Times, and the editorial page editor was deleted, was whacked. He, quote, quit officially. And the assistant editorial page editor was essentially sent to Siberia for re-education. He's no longer working on the editorial side.
And he's back in the newsroom, right?
Yes, he's back in the newsroom. And essentially, the columnists, essentially, progressive columnists, are still calling for others to be purged. They want Barry Weiss gone and a couple of other columnists gone. Even though they want all the conservative columnists gone, even though they're anti-Trump, they're still not all in for the revolution, so they want them gone. And essentially, the Times is run by the revolutionaries, young revolutionaries who learned about all this stuff and you know, in progressive classrooms 10 years ago.
So what you're saying is that this is a reflection, I guess, of what's going on in the streets right now and what's going on in governments around the country. That's why we see the NFL commissioner caving in to in advance of any mishap or confrontation. They've been through it before, this idea of being on the wrong side of these protests, and the NFL doesn't want to miss this one. So they're out ahead of it, and the commissioner saying yesterday already, you know, caving in to the Black Lives Matter movement. And
exactly,
it shows
and he essentially
an atmosphere of intimidation, I think, Tom. It's kind of
scary. I would say so. And the Philadelphia Inquirer editorial page editor, he had to get moved out because he suggested that, you know, that some of these historic buildings might be worth saving. That are being destroyed. And there's been a few around the country now who've said the wrong thing. Somebody, who was it, who said, oh, yes, Drew Brees now essentially is on a leash because he dared to say that he would never kneel for the national anthem because his grandfathers had sacrificed in World War II and that he would honor them. And that is not allowed. There is only one channel on right now. It is the Black Lives Matter channel for radical progressives. And unless you read from the brochure, then your speech is considered hostile and violent to the cause, and you must be canceled immediately, or you must.
But I wonder what do you think that that these are good decisions? If you disconnect your own personal, we're talking to Tom Shattuck. He is a newspaper editor from Lowell, Massachusetts. Do you think that the New York Times has made a rational decision from a business point of view? Are they that vulnerable to this extreme left wing that is rising up right now? And if they are, what does that say for politicians who are kind of refusing to go all the way in? Like liberals, like Ned Lamont in Connecticut, has an eye towards what his voters think, what voters in the state think, not necessarily his voters, but mainstream voters, and that they would not abide him caving in, that he can't say, yes, I want to shut down the Hartford police or the state police. He realizes that's something that's not that's not tenable. Is the New York Times really in a place where they have to cave in to the extreme left?
I think the people who are working content, so the people who are in the art of the business, those people will cave in, and because if not, they'll be annihilated because they've brought these young staffers and reporters up. They've told them that they're all indoctrinated in the same, intersectional theory. And they believe, they're true believers in the religion of their progressivism. And so these young staffers said, well, that's good to know. So then they stab their superiors with these theological weapons that have been, have been made right there on site. And they get them out of the way. So now this editorial page editor is out of the way, and some kid's now running it who got there 2 years ago. And that's good because the editorial page editor was in the way of the ultimate revolution. So, but on the a level above that, I believe the ownership, I think that they think it's a business decision. And certainly they saw, I think they saw a drop in subscriptions, and for them it makes sense. With Goodell, I think also it's a business decision. I think it's foolish because this movement has made incredible headway. This movement is way into enemy lines in enemy territory, and they've no reason to slow down at this point. And Goodell, even when he talked about the Black Lives Matter cause while prostrating himself in the video, he also mentioned, he said, and I understand police brutality in cases like Trayvon Martin. And even though he knows Trayvon Martin was not a police brutality case, he was killed by a civilian, The Black Lives Matter brochure essentially says that Trayvon was, so Goodell just read right from it. And Theo Epstein did the same for the Cubs. He threw Trayvon Martin in there as well. And they're all reading off of the Black Lives Matter brochure just
okay,
to say.
Okay, but I think that's I think that makes sense for the sports teams. Like the NFL is just in a position where the players have so much leverage over them being able to create their product and make their billions of dollars a year that they have no choice to get out of the way of this breaking wave. Their hope is that all of America is not going to become radicalized in this one moment and that there will be effective dodges created by politicians who have all these tricks to make it feel like they're actually responding to the demands of the marketplace, but where they don't actually demand. And then everybody moves on to another agenda, and there's an election in November that goes the way they all expect it to go. You know, I think they've got a plan for this because they're used to diffusing dangerous, volatile situations. And the way you do that is to not get involved with the confrontation, but just do a lot of, yeah, we get you. We're with you. We're with you 100%. Then they turn and run for the hills.
I disagree. Maybe in other times, maybe when there were school shootings, et cetera, and you have the gun control arguments flare up. This is a tsunami. This is the real thing, and this has broken past the gates where usually you get pushback. And I think that what makes this one different is this: the origin of this is an 8-minute video that brought a lot more people on board, and people have nothing else to do but look at computer screens. So people who've been cloistered in their houses for 3 months got emotionally involved in the core story. And, of course, Black Lives Matter is there to make sure that core story evolves into activism, in their activism. And before you know it, you're somebody, from Darien, Connecticut, who's, white and upper class, and you're taking a knee and doing the Black Power sign in the middle of your town because you don't want the people on the Facebook page to hate you. And you're in. And once you're in, you're in. And some of these governors try to get ahead of it, and some don't. Like Andy Beshear in Kentucky, the governor, has now promised universal health care for all Black citizens, residents, which is something that you would think would be
race-based health care?
Yes, exactly. So if you're Black, you're going to get universal health care, which is something that you would think would be wildly unconstitutional. And it is.
That's why it'll get knocked down, and that's a good thing to promise. I think that's part of the kind of trick that they use. All right, stay with us. Tom Shattuck is here. We'll talk more coming up on WTIC. WTIC. My old friend Tom is here. And it's always fun to talk politics with him because he's up on every inch of this stuff, interested in different aspects of it than I am. And also just because, Tom, you get so much joy from it. And I love that about you, that you are such a nutcase.
Well, this is crazy.
Do you involve your kids? You've got how many kids do you have now?
I have 4 kids, 12 chickens, two dogs at the moment.
Do you talk to them about politics all the time?
The kids hear enough, and they're listening. The oldest one's 10 now, and she's hearing it, and and they repeat some what would be considered wrong think. Nothing, just simply things like, capitalism is good. Things like that, that by the time they enter.
Ooh, so you're setting them up for fights at school.
I guess. We can't contain ourselves in my house. My wife is conservative, too. But you never know. You never know how kids are going to end up. And tying in to the first piece of bumper music you played when we first came in at 3 o'clock, which was John Lennon, you should follow if you're not following. This the most pleasant surprise of the last 10 years, Sean Ono Lennon on Twitter. So
really?
Yes. Sean Ono Lennon, whose dad was an essential socialist, his mother is a socialist. On the New York Times communications about everybody they had to fire and who quit and is getting reeducated because they dared to publish conservative, he tweeted to the Times, "This is the end for you guys. Firing somebody for allowing different opinions in your paper means you are no longer a real newspaper. It's been fun. You had a good run. The best, in fact. R.I.P." So there you go. Sean Ono Lennon is he's one of these guys who stayed sane during this. Between Trump's inauguration and then the COVID stuff and now there's the unrest going on, more and more people have just lost their minds. And he's one of the ones who has not. And you have not. Although I wasn't sure, Todd, when we first got on. I had to wait for a few seconds in to make sure that that you hadn't
You were testing me?
Yes, you hadn't been
overrun.
All right,
let me I think I have a cut here from the governor yesterday, Governor Ned Lamont, talking about, I think he's asked a question if I have the right cut. And I might be totally off base, but I'm just going to hit it and see what happens, because I wanted you to hear what he has to say.
I'm back into session, but that is the governor's intent.
And then for Josh, regarding contact
two, in terms of confidence building, so people have confidence that their municipal and state police are there protecting them. And just as importantly, how we can make sure that there are clear guidelines for our police. We talked about a broader, not broader, required use of video cams, required use of body cams, making sure that that is available to everybody, that they use those. Perhaps we monitor those on a more regular basis.
All right, so I don't know what happened to the chop in there, but he basically said no to the idea of shutting down, defunding the police. And he's offering this pablum that many in political positions are offering instead, is to diffuse this energy. They're saying, oh, okay, we can use the money for other things. We could transfer police dollars to social services. And this is the kind of thing that works really well for leftist politicians to not offend a riled up base. You don't see that working this time?
That's nowhere near the demand list that Black Lives Matter and woke America wants. That's the reallocation.
Yes, but we're talking about an average state, a small state, with an average governor who's not that connected to an ideological bent. He's liberal, and he's on the left, but he's not rabid or anything. And it's not a rabid state, even though it's almost as liberal as Massachusetts.
Well, it matters. Has the mob come to the door yet? I know that 25 years ago,
well, no,
I dated. 25 years ago, I dated
a
young lady.
Go ahead. Let's hear about your dating.
I'm going to go through all of my girlfriends. But no, I was dating somebody who went to Trinity College. And I can tell you one thing. That person who I was dating and half of her class would have been marching on the state house already. Mm-hmm. They were already into all sorts of civil disobedience, et cetera, in progressive politics. So maybe those voices been tempered? I don't know. But
I just still, it's kind of a comatose state in terms of political activism. I'm not sure why. Of course, the left is more energized than the kind of worn out, tired of paying all these tax increases, average mainstream voter who believes in the American system of government.
I'm surprised, especially with Yale. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that there hasn't been more unrest. The time may be coming because Black Lives Matter and these other progressive groups are a well-oiled machine, and it just took some voices and student activism in Massachusetts for UMass, which is the ring of state-run schools here, to deny the state police the use of garages to use so that they can stage vehicles to stop riots. And the governor hasn't said a thing about it. Of course, the press hasn't asked the governor about it, unfortunately.
Who can't use what garages?
So the state police cannot use UMass garages to stage their vehicles in case they need to scramble in to intervene when there's looting. They historically do that. They used it for the marathon as well when there was all sorts of stuff happening.
So UMass is pro looting, and who? Somebody's not allowed to ride on the subway?
Yes, on the MBTA, Boston Subway System, the law enforcement cannot use the subways to go to looting areas. And that was
this is mental illness in practice. But again,
yes,
it could just be politicians getting out of the way and hoping the smoke clears and they'll be able to go back to some kind of normal soon. Tom, we're going to break for our bottom of the hour news. We'll talk more coming up with Tom Shattuck from the Lowell Sun on WTIC. So we're talking with Tom Shattuck, my old radio friend who's now stuck writing, which is and editing, which is way more work than talking is. Don't tell anyone, Tom.
Yeah, it is. And it stays out there forever, too, and you're right, which can be very, very dangerous, especially now more than ever, I think.
So this is a remarkable situation, this situation you described at the New York Times, where a United States senator, having been given op-ed space, has created outrage among the staff and led to the firing of the editorial page editor. And it's such a remarkable thing, Tom. It's hard to believe that that there's now this two-tier leftism. There's you can be a leftist who still believes in journalism and the idea of the free exchange of ideas being a noble thing, that free speech mm-hmm. is good because those ideas go into a marketplace and then people get to select what they want. But the younger generation, as I understand it, of leftists, feel that thought control, mind control, speech control are what freedom is, that freedom is to mm-hmm. be free of having to hear ideas that you as a leftist might find upsetting. Is that how you view this?
Yes, but that doesn't go far enough. Not just you find it upsetting, but you consider it violence. So if speech that you don't agree with, speech that is divergent, is violent. And it not only does it evoke violent acts, of which we're told now is also a pandemic, it will result in violence. And the fact that it resounds in previous violence means that you're being re-triggered, so you're being essentially assaulted again. So that's why
we are responsible for the modular damage done to humans in their life experience. And if we trigger mm-hmm. it, not knowing it's there and not knowing what the trigger might be, we are then culpable. We're guilty of some malfeasance.
Yes, due to their life experience that is largely based upon their intersectional characteristics. So minorities, women, LGBT, any other possible category that gives you value in victimhood. Yes.
But what do they think? Do you know what they think about the idea that if you spend like 5 minutes doing the logic, which I take a walk once or twice a week with my 12-year-old grandson because he wants to learn about all this stuff that I talk about on the radio. And he's fascinated with these ideas of, we were talking about censorship last week, and I said, well, you can't have censorship. And he said, how come? And I said, because as soon as you give a panel of people the power to make a decision, how do they make the decision? And he says, oh, yeah, they do what their friends want and where they get power. And so whoever will pay them to do it a certain way. Or people will rig it, he said. Like, he gets all this stuff. It's not complicated. Age 12, you can grasp it. How do they see this playing out when suddenly it's not their opinion that is one the censors are following anymore?
I don't think that they see that far down the road. You're exactly right. Because eventually their own rigid parameters of accepted content will be imposed on them when they are out of favor. And I guess the new ultra, ultra, ultra progressives, you know, come and devour, cannibalize the ultra, ultra progressives. I guess that's how it would work. But there's no real end game. It's simply about a struggle and fight immediately. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense. What the Times has done is forfeit itself as a vehicle for any symmetrical news and opinion. It is now simply
This
activist.
Is complicated. The New York Times did some wonderful reporting last week. It did the interview with the mayor of Minneapolis, who said that the police unions are the problem. And I don't know how they're going to infect all. It's a big newspaper organization, and it's one that prides itself on following journalistic standards. So I don't know how they're going to maintain some kind of uniformity of opinion within such a large organization.
It might pride itself on a journalistic integrity or something like that, but you can tell by the reporting over just the last 4 years that there has been activism in the news side of the reporting consistently. with the Trump. You know, more people feel that this is kind of a state of emergency, and it's all in now. And so what used to be considered just reporting the facts is not good enough and needs to be turbocharged.
So you see the Stop Trump movement has created an exception to all norms. And now that those exceptions have been blown up, everybody's just running through that opening.
Yes, I think it's put them over the top. Absolutely. I mean, they were always getting close and closer as they became more progressive. But if, for instance, in 2012, when Candy Crowley stepped on Mitt Romney as he was nailing.
Yeah, when
Barack
she
Obama.
Rigged.
Exactly.
When she rigged the thing.
Rigged the thing during the debate and said, Governor Romney, yes, he did. He did say it was terrorism. And then Barack Obama looked at her and pointed at her and said, Candy, say it again. And she said it again. That was unbelievable at the time, and that was a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
That would not be out of the norm whatsoever. You don't think that somebody like Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, Cuomo, or anybody in MSNBC or any of the networks would do that? I can't think of a handful of people who wouldn't do that. Maybe Chris Wallace wouldn't do that, but these are all big-time progressive
Well, the risk, though, would be if you were out there gaming out a debate in advance, mm-hmm. and that idea came up in the conversation of how to handle a certain thing. If you did that to Trump, you'd be playing into his hands, wouldn't you? He would love it if he had Candy Crowley out there trying to rig the debate for Joe Biden.
Well, I mean, Trump's not afraid to lay waste to anybody around for any reason, whether it's a 75-year-old protester or a media figure. That said, he can still get snared in a trap. And, you know, there are some people suggesting that Trump should not debate because why let these big-time coastal elite moderators take shots at him when they should be asking questions? Why let them take shots at him? I still think when we saw CNN set up the BS open mic, which also was open video, which was incredibly clear, a hot mic thing with Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren a few months ago, that should tell you that they're involved in theater, in propaganda. And they'll do anything it takes. And it still works on people. It still works. That's why the Kentucky governor's going crazy and talking about universal health care for only black people. Uber Eats in New York City is going to take away fees, delivery fees, for black-owned businesses only. They said
Stop
this out.
It.
Yes, it's right there. They said it out loud. It was, yes. Last week announced that the company would be waiving delivery fees for customers who order from black-owned restaurants for the rest of the
All
year.
All right, let me shift us in a new direction then, Tom. We're talking to Tom Shattuck. He's an old radio friend from Boston. What do you see as the macro of what's going on here? It's very easy. I'm not in the least bit conspiracy-oriented. Mm-hmm. And yet when you look at how beautifully these factors align with an election coming up in November – We have governors declaring themselves king for a virus that is super dangerous because it can be carried invisibly by young people who are asymptomatic but shedding virus. And then we find out it's not shedding virus. The whole thing's a hoax yesterday. We have not just coronavirus going on. We have this killing going on during a period of time when everybody, as you point out, is frustrated and bored or whatever from sitting around the house for a couple of months. And we have all of this turmoil created by the government at a moment when an election's coming up. They declare themselves kings of the states so they can pass new laws at this moment when their leftist, hardcore, anti-American supporters are out there looking to destroy the vestiges of liberty. It just seems too perfect.
What makes it even more amazing, and it is perfect, it does create the atmosphere for this incredible, incredible surge, cultural surge. But what makes it more incredible, and this is what my big macro takeaway is that through the pandemic, when people spiked their own livelihoods in the economy and maybe the livelihoods of their kids, that how much of the population was able to simply blame it on Trump immediately and be mad at Trump supporters, even though it wasn't a Trump issue. And with the virus, the same thing. I'm sorry, with the protests, it's the same thing. Damn, Trump, you know this couldn't have happened with without the temperature that he set for 4 years. It's remarkable that your mind is able to stay laser-focused on your hate, on your need for hate validation through all of it. It's as if somebody walked in this room right now and started pistol-whipping me to death, and I'm saying, damn, Todd Feinberg, you'd think that maybe the situation at hand would have you have your full attention. But no. So my feeling is there is a huge, huge mental health problem in this country. And I don't know if it's psychotropic medications or what it is. But
that's interesting. So that's your conspiracy. You think everybody's in a drug-induced sense of deprived adulthood or delayed adulthood.
Yes, I think it's not too hard to see that they kind of diagnosed themselves. In the town I used to live in Massachusetts, when Trump won, the school committee made available resources for
psychologists.
Mental health. Yes, and dogs or whatever, therapy dogs and things like that for people after the election, day after the election, because it was that big a thing. It was just another election. It was going to go either way the whole time. And so either they created it afterwards or this whole time there was always this odd bipolar anxiety that was festering. And so Trump just set it off. I don't know, but it's crazy. So many people who I've known, it's got to be the same for you, I used to be able to talk to rationally, have lost their minds and have been consistently for 4 years just unhinged. Behavior has changed markedly. People who had reputations, big time lawyers and doctors and other things, can't help themselves. They're just crazy. Like after the shooting, the Parkland shootings 2 years ago, in a radio station I was with, we had on a psychiatrist, a child psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I said, "Can it be healthy to hours after the shots rang out with all the dead bodies in that school? Is it healthy to put all these kids in front of Klieg lights, in front of CNN, and have them be activists for this? Shouldn't they? Don't they need a little time away?" She said, "No, this issue is very much too important. They need to. They need to be doing this. They need to make sure the president hears it. And it's better for their mental health that they go through it and they be able to talk about things." I mean, there's no way anybody teaches that in any medical school.
It's national network TV interviews for mental health for children.
Like, prescribe that. Nobody would ever suggest you do that. Become a 17-year-old superstar when you're clueless and don't know what you're talking about. You're not a gun expert. And, you know, they're just simply being used. But as long as it was in the employ of harming Donald Trump in some way, the psychological community was right behind it. And I just see it everywhere.
All right, hang on 1 second, Thomas. We'll take a break and we'll continue the conversation. Tom Shattuck with us on WTIC. Yes, indeed. Tom Shattuck is here. We talk politics, and there is a heck of a lot of politics going on, and it is energized in a crazed way we haven't seen before. Interesting about the left, Thomas, that as much as they object to Donald Trump, what they object to are the things they aspire to the most. They aspire to be as irrational as possible. They aspire to be as bombastic and hard-hitting, and they aspire to lie as viciously as any politician can lie. And they're out there fighting to be the first place finisher against Trump on all these attributes that they claim are disgraceful and disgusting and appalling.
You're so right. A friend of mine had a very astute observation. He had an epiphany a few months back. He said, "Oh my God, I understand it now. They hate Trump because he's as bad as they are." And
yeah,
it's true. It's true. I mean, this stuff that Trump is tweeting today is disgusting. Then again, Nancy Pelosi and Dick Durbin and Harry Reid undermining the war effort and trying to incite, the Taliban to fight a little harder against American GIs was also vile and even more vile. I mean, this is, first of all, Washington, D.C. is the home of politicians and lawyers. You know, and everybody else is an opportunist of one kind or another. So it's been overused, but it is a dirty swamp. But that's right. Trump fights just as dirty as anybody else. And for him, during an election campaign, that is a very good thing. But Republicans didn't always fight just as dirty as everybody else. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think we have Trump, right? Because Mitt Romney sat there and took it. When Joe Biden said they're going to put you, Romney's going to put you back in chains. To me, that sounds like a racially tinged thing to say, which might actually make people in the audience who are black think that Mitt Romney might actually put them back in chains, which seems like you're using your race baiting for political gains.
Yeah.
And of course he was.
It might trigger people.
Yes, and of course he was, and it was the way it was done. So, yes, Trump is just as vile as they are and just as mean and underhanded. Unfortunately, with Trump, he doesn't prioritize it right. Nobody.
Yeah,
He doesn't have to torch Scarborough and accuse Scarborough of murdering his intern 25 years ago. That seems like a rather ancillary target.
Let me just poke in here with a Trump thing, and that is that Trump's problem is that he's so wired in one way, and he can't go back and say, let me trick them. And instead of being myself here, let me be the opposite of my normal self. There's none of that strategizing that goes on. It's just if you push button A, you're always going to get response A from Trump. And it's made me feel that maybe he's outlived his usefulness, that there's been a shift. Because obviously, if you always respond the same way to all negative input, then at some point circumstances will change and your responses won't fit the times anymore. But now I feel like he's needed all the more, because
yes.
who else can be the warrior that fights against politics as ugly as what we're seeing right now?
A conservative who went to military school, who's a good friend of mine. I met him yesterday for a clandestine meeting so he could give me a casserole that he made of something. He said, you know, I got to tell you, Donald Trump is a total... another word for a donkey. And he said, but I'm going to vote for him again. And you're right. If the last time was the Flight 93 election, then this time is a Flight 93 election. If last time it was about, you got to vote for Donald Trump or else we're going to lose the country. Well, what the hell is this right now? This is even more so. This is crazy. And so it very well might be that somebody who's 73 years old and feels a need to use the media of somebody who's 23 years old in Twitter and can't keep any internal thought contained might be the best bet. Because at the end of the day, he likes the idea of America. He likes building stuff. He doesn't like wars. He likes a good...
He's a capitalist.
Right. He's a capitalist.
And by the way, who else could take it?
Right.
I don't think anyone else could. Tom, we got to run. Thank you, sir.
Great
hour. We'll do it again soon. That is Tom Shattuck.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.